Hello.
Can we do a copy of that?
Well, you're gonna just stand up. And again, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I don't get to say bye.
Anyway, it's gonna go on this list over here.
Good afternoon, everybody. Make yourself comfortable.
Welcome, everybody, to the August 2019 Council meeting. May we please, I'd like to call the meeting to order and ask if the meeting was properly noticed.
Yes, sir. It was properly noticed as a regular meeting of the Village Council.
All right. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. Mayor Brownell?
Present.
Councilor Kern?
Here.
Councilor Patterson?
Present.
Councilor Stagg?
Here.
Councilor Whitman?
Here.
All present,
sir.
You have a quorum.
I'd like to make a motion. We approve the agenda as written. Second.
Any discussion?
Question. I just noticed this morning, so I'm sorry to come in too late on this. However, item 13E is not exactly what was requested. The original request from the TIP board was to consider Chaz Rocky as the person to work with DFA, and that seems to have dropped out somehow or other.
Well, the item 13E says consideration of TIP board request to Village Council.
That's all it says. Whereas if you look at your thing, the requests are not quite that.
I believe in the write-up for it.
it specifically mentions Taz's name. I believe. I read it and I thought
it was. Well, the write-up should reflect also the agenda. Okay. Just,
I understand your concern. I don't know if it's a problem or not.
Yeah. I'd like to change my motion for the agenda approval to include the name of Chaz Rocky as the member.
Mayor Castle, can we have that item moved up and perhaps a motion? Because we have David Monteith here, and he'll have to leave soon. So that's the other thing, is to ask if we can have that item moved up as well on the agenda.
Okay. My motion includes that where you want to put it.
First on new business?
Yes.
Okay. My motion includes that.
I'm second. I'm okay.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor to approve the agenda with the amendment? Say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Motion passes.
I'm going to make a motion. We approve the minutes of the July 16, 2019 Village Council regular meeting.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Okay, we do have the presentation next by Mr. David Monteith, but let me, I just want to take a moment to have a moment of silence to acknowledge the latest tragedies, mass shootings, and all the first responders that were involved and the families. Take a moment. Thank you. Maybe we move forward with a presentation by David Monteith. Is that right?
Yes, that's how you say it.
Monteith, the Mexico Tax and Revenue Department.
Not officially a presentation, but more of an introduction. My name is David Monteith. I work for Taxation and Revenue. I'm the local government liaison for Taxation and Revenue. I've been in my position almost a year. I'm the first point of contact for the village and also for the TIG. If there's any questions on reporting, distributions, and other areas that might be of concern to the village. I've been working closely with Nancy and Chaz on some questions on the reporting and compliance, and hopefully we got those resolved. And I'm just here to answer questions that you might have. There are a couple of reports available to the village if they do the confidentiality training. I believe Nancy has already completed the confidentiality training, but one of them is called the 455, which is a report that is non-public, but with the training, Nancy can request the report and identify who's filing GRT taxes within the location. Also, the TID has a separate location code, and that's also available in the 455 to see who's filing in both those. Recently, I did a little bit of outreach to the taxpayers, and with the turnover rates on some of those secretarial positions, they didn't understand the difference between the village rate and the TIG rate, which the difference is the state contributes a little bit of extra GRT from the general fund to the TID if they're using the right location code. So once I explained that to them, they were open to amending their returns and making sure that everything's in compliance. There's another report available with confidentiality treatment, confidentiality agreement, which is called the payer range report. That's available to Nancy if she has questions on GRT taxpayers who reside within the location, but it also gives you a range of who are the main players in your gross receipts tax and where do they fall in that area. And then the last report available is called an increase-decrease report. which for a typical community, it would show you who amended the returns and why your increase, decrease from GRT happened for that distribution. This is a unique situation with Kalski Valley, since most of the TIF encompasses that. It doesn't show you the increase, decrease, because it's just really taken from the parent company and moving it to the TIF. So that report is a little skewed. But it also provides information on who's amended returns and for what periods. So the three reports, when you get those together, it's not a lot of information in detail. It's not information where you can reconcile GRT, but it's good information on who's filing the returns, who are your main players, and what happened to your distribution if you have questions on that. So I've been working with the Ski Valley closely for about a year, and there were some concerns on ups and downs with GRT distribution. So in working with Nancy, John, and Ann, and Chaz, hopefully we got those issues resolved. So I'm available for questions if you have any questions. I'm also around, so you can reach out to me after the meeting if you have further questions from TRD.
Any questions from council or staff?
Just one question. You said there wasn't a lot of detail to find out.
On the detail.
The location code, doesn't that include the entity that's filing?
It does. But when you look at the report overall, the reports are not designed to reconcile to a dollar amount on the RP 500. Each report is designed for a specific reason. So the 455 is a very valuable tool that indicates who is filing GRT in your location, who is filing GRT in the TIF, and if we can get that switched around and get in compliance, it's a very important step where distribution is correct and money goes to the correct.
Okay, so it'll identify somebody who continues to use the incorrect.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Yes.
Thank you for coming, by the way.
No problem.
So do you think that with this information, people that know what's going on around here, we should be able to come to some reasonable conclusion as to what's going on here?
As far as the reporting, it's not an economic tool to gauge increases and decreases in economic trends. These are reports to identify who's filing GRT in your location code and maybe what happened to that distribution if there's a question for increase or decrease on that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Jess.
So I'd just like to provide a little more background on this for those who aren't as familiar with the topic. And David's been great since we approached Tax and Rev a few months ago with helping us. Our TID, that I think many of you are familiar with in terms of the term TID, is designed to collect incremental gross receipts tax and reimburse the developer, Kalski Valley Inc., for its investments in public infrastructure. It's been in place for about 4 years. And over the course of the 4 years, based on our numbers, the TID is short about $2 million. So it's $2 million that the developer should be reimbursed, and it's not. Some of it looks like it was coded to the village. The village received some of it. And some of it we're not sure really where it is. So we reached out to Tax and Revenue, and Secretary Chardon Clark, who is familiar with the formation of our TID, and she sat on our TID board, is now the Secretary of Tax and Revenue, has been very supportive of our effort to reconcile the gross receipts tax. What we talked about a number of ways to address the issue, and the reason this is an agenda item separate from David's presentation is that our TID board has asked of the village to identify an agent, being myself, to work more transparently with Tax and Revenue and with Nancy to help in the reconciliation effort. When we raised that topic, there were a lot of questions. You know, what does this agent get to see? What don't they get to see, et cetera? And so that's why the idea of understanding the reporting, the reports that David mentioned, and what kind of information they provide. And it was good for me to understand as well. The four reports that David mentioned, they don't have one of them has dollar amounts, but it's not dollar amounts that tie back to actual gross receipts tax totals. The rest of them are just all about who's filing in the right code and the wrong code. And so, you know, we on the TID board, we have found it frustrating that we can't see any information. The TID is not authorized to even see its own 455. It's all got to go through the village. And so the request is for the village to name myself as a TID board member and agent so we can see this 455 and work with Nancy. It's not for the TID to contact tax filers or anything like that. We would just work more closely with David. So, you know, David has information I provided him. He agrees that basically about 80% of the gross receipts tax that occurs in the village either flows through the ski company or through our construction efforts. And so with that information and transparency, he's been able to identify some significant corrections that need to be made. But we've got to go back and do it for a couple other years, and we want to make sure it works correctly moving forward. And so the more transparency, the better. So that's what I kind of, you know, fill in the blanks there behind what David was presenting. And again, David and Secretary Sharden Clark, the attention they've given this has been much, much better than what we had received previously, and it's been very helpful. So I thank you and Secretary Sharden Clark for your support. And I do think that with some of this improved transparency and us working together on this, we'll get the mechanism fixed and we'll be good moving forward. So anyways, that's just some additional background.
If I could add just one more thing to the residents who are probably saying, so what's this really going to do with us? Well, the answer is, if at the moment the TID is short $2 million, it really means that the village is going to pay that $2 million again later on. So, yes, we're all going to suffer from this if it doesn't get sorted out. So it's not just a TID problem per se. It's also a village problem and a village resident problem. Okay? Just thought I'd like to make that clear. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Timothy, for your presentation. Chaz, for your comments. Oh, Susan, would you like to have a seat? All right, next up we have the Citizens Forum. For non-agenda items only, please limit 5 minutes per person. And the sign-up sheet was right here for the forum, which is separate from the visitor sign-up sheet.
Yes.
First we have Ms. Kelly Bird. St. Moritz Condos.
Well, hello, Mayor, Council members, village staff, residents. I'm Kelly Grosset. I live on 37 Twining Road, and I live with dusk every day. And there's a couple, I haven't been to a council meeting in a while, I apologize. But the last council meeting I did come, I did hear the public's work, Anthony saying that he didn't have time to do dust control mitigation. And I thought it was great because there was a whole bunch of potholes, like the size of Volkswagens, and I thought, great, that's going to slow everyone down. If they go 10 miles an hour, it doesn't cause any dust or as much dust. But I thought there was going to be a projector here to show you some pictures of just how much traffic. And like when I come down just by my truck, I'll just take pictures of cars passing, and about five or six come by, and the dust is just, and I think it's great you have a grader out there. That is really makes the road smooth. You can really carry some speed now. It's amazing how much dust you can get with these big 18-wheelers or these big tandem dump trucks with a bunch of wheels on it. Anyway, I just, you know, I want just to complain, but I used to work in the construction business driving big heavy equipment, and we had impact fees that had to go to dust mitigation and to keep stuff out of the river, and that was just part of it. And you know, I haven't really been in the TID. It doesn't sound like we're $2 million in the hole. So there's probably no money there for dust control. But it sounds like we have two more employees on the public's works, and I heard a rumor there was $140,000 ready to go for the road. Patrick said he's been talking to a committee, and they're trying to figure out a new way for the road, and I think that's all great. But he said that's 3 years in the works before it can. So anyway, I'm just thinking that lodger's tax, it was $35,000 that was supposed to go towards Calcera, didn't go. I don't know if we could, you know, I'm a heavy, I can drive a truck, I can drive a dump truck, I got a CDLA, I would do that for $35,000, no problem. So thank you guys, appreciate it.
Thank you, folks. Next we have Ms. Kathy Bennett.
Oh, I'll make this quick. This is for Officer Trujillo mostly, but there haven't been any bear sightings that I can tell. That nobody's reported anything, and that's wonderful. But bear season's coming up because they're going to get really hungry in the fall, which is like next month. Anyway, I've been noticing campers, especially the one up here by the turnaround, the campground up here at the top of the parking lot. There's people up there that are camping, and it's great. I've never seen so many, but they have food out on the picnic table at the moment as we speak. And I'm just asking if maybe you couldn't patrol the campgrounds just a little bit and just inform them that they shouldn't be leaving the food out when they're out hiking.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody there. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thanks. And everybody's done a great job here as far as putting out dumpsters that are bear-proof. It's been wonderful, and we just don't seem to have a bear problem. So,
it's been a great strawberry season this year.
I think the bears.
I think the bears are as well.
They're going to come.
Yeah. Actually, the other day was the first day I ever had strawberries and raspberries on the same day.
Okay.
Usually they're separated. That's it for the citizens forum, unless there's someone else last minute. Okay, can we move on to financial reports, please, Mr. Boswick?
Yes, Mayor, Council, members of the community. This is the finance report for July of 2019. Gross receipts tax this month, last year, we were at $54,483. This year, we're at $73,181. Last year, to date, of course, same numbers. The TID did not receive a GRT in July for May collections. However, after David's talk, there will be some changes to the GRT. But I'll bring those forward to the next meeting when I have more information. Lodger's tax this month, last year was $86.92, and this month, this year, we were at $91.07. Revenues, we received $58.88 in whole harmless GRT revenues. For water in FY18, it stayed in '01 because of the accrual that the auditors had to do. So we'll start to get a better comparison on our water and sewer as we go through the year. Right now, collections between the two are up about $25,000. GRT is showing up 50% from last year. Other revenue is up. We did receive those two $15,000 donation funds from TFC or TCF via the Towsky Valley. Thank you very much. We appreciate that for our EMS and fire. Lodger's tax collections are up about 4.7%. We collected $8,121 in property tax in July, 18% higher than last year. Interest income, you'll notice on your report that there was nothing in there for July. We're just getting those bank reconciliations done right now. So I had to print the report before I could do that. So we did receive $9,966 in July interest at the State Treasurer's Office LGIP account. Our expenses, salary expenses up in July, just to point out, we had three payrolls this July versus two payrolls last July. Again, with the elected officials, same thing. The auditors were here this past June, so we've already paid for a portion of our audit this year. Equipment repairs up. Upon looking through that, I found that there was two invoices from FY19 that were not paid and should have been paid last year, but were paid in July, so that throws that off a little. Our fuel expense will increase because our June invoice had not been paid yet as of this report. Other operating expenses is the gross receipts tax administrative fee. We weren't doing that last year, so you'll see that this year there won't really be much of a comparison. And other things, I just wanted to let the mayor and council know that the village was not able to make all their transfers last year that we were supposed to, that were in the budget. We were scheduled to budget $30,000 in transfer from our water enterprise fund to fund 41 for reserves towards the Kachina tank. However, we were only able to transfer $15,000 of it, which is about half. Sewer, we should have transferred 120, but we were only able to transfer 40,000 of that. If I had done any more transfers, the ending fund balance is based on the way we had done the budget. Would have been negative last year, so I wasn't able to complete the transfers. There are no human resources updates to report this month, and I think that's it, unless anybody has any questions.
If I could, is it the hold harmless stuff, which is supposed to go towards the treatment plant, do you know how much we've actually collected since we started that?
I don't recall offhand, but I believe it's well over 300,000 at this point. But I could get a number for next meeting, or I could email you.
I'm assuming we're just going to plow that into the.
Basically, I've been putting that money, taking it from our Sentinel main operating account, and putting it into an account that we opened up when this money was determined that we were going to start collecting that at Hillcrest Bank, and so all that money is just put aside for the. Treatment plant,
right.
Debt service, depending on how it goes.
I know that was the intent of it all. I just wondered how it was going there.
Yes, we've been putting that aside. I know it's in about, do you have a number? 434,000? He says 434,000 in whole lines.
Cool, okay.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jess.
Thank you. Next, we have the committee reports. Planning and Zoning Commission, Councilor Whitman.
The August meeting we did not have. A couple of things fell off the agenda, and we decided it was appropriate to cancel it. So, next meeting is scheduled for Monday, September 9th, 1 o'clock here. How's that go, Anne-Marie? Is that all right?
Sounds great.
All right.
Commission Chair Whitman.
I'm sure. Okay, Public Safety Committee and Firewise Community Board, Councilor Patterson.
Thank you, Mayor. We met on August 5th. We discussed some old business. Bids and applications are still in the works to bury our overhead electric lines, and hopefully we'll still see some progress this summer. We're continuing to pester the New Mexico Department of Transportation about our highway restriping, but our impression is they can't seem to communicate with their contractors about the situation, and they aren't aware of our life safety issues, so they're not addressing them. We have a second evacuation siren that'll be installed still this summer at the Kachina lift station, and then we'll be ordering the third siren that's scheduled. We scheduled an August 10th community information afternoon for 2 to 4 p.m. this past Saturday, and it was well attended. Our next meeting is September 9th due to Labor Day, 10 a.m. at Inn at Taos Valley. At our Firewise meeting, we reviewed the latest draft of our ordinance, the wildfire protection and prevention ordinance. And we took our final drafts, our final edits to the August 10th Saturday meeting, where we had a really good discussion. A lot of the community came out. We had 20 people attend, and we heard some really great comments, some very perceptive ideas about how we're moving forward. I want to thank everybody that did come and contribute. And we're still waiting for some of those comments by email, and we'll be incorporating all of those into our discussion coming up on September 9th. And once we get that further along, we'll be opening it up again for public comment and review by the commissions and boards. Thank you. Any questions?
Go ahead. You mentioned that you're getting bids for an underground power line. What would be this? What's point A and what's point B? Like, where, what power line are we talking about that's overhead that you want to put underground?
Well, our target are any live overhead lines that are a fire danger. And so we started by addressing what can be, what we can spend the co-op's franchise fee money on, mostly the trunk lines and the lateral feed lines to get them underground. And then what's specifically Amazatis covered, and we can get them to address Coast East, then we could have a whole lot of this overhead line up the canyon de-energized. That would be a huge fire safety issue. And then the other overhead lines that we see on the streets here in the community are that are part of that overall big priority. Any live overhead power line is a fire danger, as we know.
Okay, thank you.
Focusing on those as well. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Any other questions? Next, we have Parks and Rec Committee. We have Carrie Madison.
All right. So, right now, the 18-hole golf course, disc golf course, is open. Big difference here. Anyway, and the disc sets and the maps are available at the Chamber Info Booth Chalet in the parking lot. And it is a free course for anybody. Let's see, we're working on, we do have maps, we're working on nicer maps. So that hopefully will be done at the end of this month. Thanks to TSVI building the foundation, we now have a permanent sand volleyball court up near the Bavarian. Parks and Rec did supply the sand, Mateo Parker and some friends of his. We'll be getting the net up, as I just heard before the meeting, Saturday. So that'll be a great addition that we've been missing so far this summer, and we're pretty excited about that. We are in the process of having the benches along the J.R. Ramming Memorial Nature Trail refinished. And also on the Nature Trail, in conjunction with the Field Institute of Taos, the placards highlighting the various plants and flowers are up along the trail. So go check that out. It's really fun to see what the kids have put together. We also have our cornhole game is currently located outside of Bumps, available to anyone to play, or for anyone to play. Kayla there, who works at the Bumps, is taking care of the game and the bags, so we appreciate that from her. Also, we want to thank Kelly Grostet for painting the upper gate for the Kachina Vista Park. It's now matching the lower gate and looks really nice with all the signs up and Christoph's benches. That park is really looking good. So please tell anybody and your staff and visitors to be able to go up there. It's a great place to hike, ride your bike, and walk your dog. All that stuff. So I know that there's people that still don't know about it. But anyway, I guess that's the end of my notes, and thank you very much. We have put together the next meeting date. Catherine is in Belgium right now, so we just haven't gotten that together. But we'll let you know. And thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, Todd. Lodgers Tax Advisory Board, Councilor Stack.
We had no meeting, no report. You know, there is funds available for project funding if people have things. So if people are wondering whether there's lodgers tax money available to support events and things, if they'll write up a grant request and send it to Nancy, the board will review it. No meeting settings.
Okay. We have regional reports. I guess I'll tie in some of the regional reports with my report. Patrick.
Mr. Mayor, members of the governing body, the source water protection plan committee met recently on August 1st. The committee committee's work is nearly complete. We finalized water protection zones for directly around the springs, as well as the watershed catchment basins. The source waters the village is seeking to protect include Gunsight, Phoenix, and Bowman Woods. The committee intends to hold one final meeting in September. And thereafter, the the source water protection plan will be reviewed first by the Planning and Zoning Commission of the village and forwarded to the village council with a recommendation.
Thank you. Jess.
What is that September meeting?
The source water protection?
Yeah, did I hear that correctly?
We are having one. It's at 10 o'clock. Peter, do you recall?
First Thursday, I believe.
First Thursday, so that would be
third or something.
Fifth, I guess. The first Thursday of September, Jess.
Thank you.
The fifth.
Okay, any other regional reports? Mayor's report. We recently just had the Up and Over, which was a great event. It was a record number of people who signed up, over 300 people. And I'm very impressed at the age span from 10 years old to 80 years old. We're participants in the race Up and Over. And, there was a lot of people, and it was a fun event. I enjoyed playing music for the event as well. Thank Courtney for hiring me.
Can I say something on that? One of the things the Chamber said they did differently this year was they advertised out of state, and there were about 100 runners that came from outside of New Mexico, and that really helped. Lodging properties, you know, in the village and stuff. So I think that was a really good thing, and kudos to the Chamber for doing that.
Yeah, definitely. It's awesome. I've mentioned before that I would like to have the meetings, the council meetings, recorded and stored on video archive, and right now I'm actually testing that out with my own equipment because we've looked at different options like the town of Taos uses, and it's pretty expensive to have it archived and everything. But I'm hoping that that this works and that we can archive the meetings on either our website or another channel if we don't have enough room. But that's something I wanted to talk to Neil about. Speaking of Neil, I just wanted to say that, you know, when Neil was mayor for 16 years and there was a lot of projects that happened during that time, and now finally there's two major projects that were started in Neil's tenure that are happening. You know, and I want to thank Neil for all his work that he did.
Thank the council.
And the council and the village. You know, we're moving ahead with the sewer plant reconstruction, and I'm hoping everything's going well, and we'll be in on time. The water tank is coming along as well, which has been in the plans for many, many years, up at Kachina. And also, the Gunsight Spring is moving forward with getting that developed as a water source for the village as well. And all these things the groundwork was done many years ago. So,
please don't name the sewer plant after me.
I attended the regional landfill board meeting and also the landfill. I attended the regional landfill board meeting and also I'm part of the subcommittee to get the recycling program going, where the Taos Landfill Board is taking over the town of Taos Recycling Center. And it is a conundrum because the landfill board is actually a sustainable business in itself with the landfill, but having it take on the recycling center might put it in the red. So that there's got to be some solutions to this problem for the whole region. And actually, the subcommittee will be talking to the landfill board this coming meeting on Thursday. I also attended the IGC meeting, and Senator Cisneros was supposed to be there, but he couldn't make it. Luis Reyes, the CEO of Kit Carson Electric, was there, and he spoke about the Volkswagen electric or the Volkswagen settlement and how it relates to them putting money towards electric car charging stations, which they have started to do all around Taos. They're working on getting charging stations within the town of Taos as well. Right now, they've been focusing on putting them where big solar arrays are, which are kind of around the outskirts. But they are working on getting some charging stations within the core of the town as well. It's particular interest for me and a member of the staff and Towski Valley Inc. as well. And I want to thank the Ski Valley for putting in more charging stations up here as well. I think it's great. As I was walking by, I saw a guy plugging his Tesla in. I'm like, oh, do you like your Tesla? He's like, oh, yeah, I travel cross-country in it. I'm like, wow, cross-country, that's amazing. He's like, you want to drive it?
Sure.
So, wow. So I got to test drive the spaceship. And,
did you bring it back?
It's pretty amazing. It even had the autopilot feature, which reads the lines on the road. And he said, you better watch out, keep your hands close to the wheel, because the paint isn't so good down the speed on the road. And it actually turned. And it was
like, oops.
Just on, if I could add on that, maybe Dave would want to elaborate. One of the things we are looking at, I don't know if this has been finalized yet, is to see if we can start to have a few electric snowcats.
The hybrid piston cools.
We'll have a prototype here in February for the B Corp Leadership Summit.
Awesome.
We'll try out the PB600E.
Yeah. Nice. So are they're starting to sell them in the U.S.
now? We hope to see it next year. It's in Europe now, and we hope to see it next year. So we'll have it ideally on site for that event. It'll be great.
Uh-huh.
That'll
be great.
Sure. With our village complex, I did some research, and the speaker of the Volkswagen settlement, what's happening in other states, and it's still in process in New Mexico, I understand, but other states have focused that on multifamily units, focused that money there, which makes a little more sense than, like you said, outlining places where they have a solar array. But there are places where people will actually live and park and charge overnight. So there's a lot of people involved in planning in our little village, so I wanted to bring that up. That and municipal or fleet services, they can get some help from this Volkswagen settlement, possibly. I haven't had the luxury of time to get well-versed in it, but I have opened some doors, and I have some communication with one of the charging companies. I'm glad to share that with anyone who's interested.
Thanks. While at the meeting, IGC meeting, I spoke with Luis Reyes about our previous meeting that we had, where we did discuss de-energizing the overhead lines up and down the Ski Valley Road. And I asked if we could have another meeting with John Agua, the new administrator, and kind of go over some things we'd like to talk about, one being de-energizing the power lines from the Ski Valley down to Taos East. He did mention that they do not plan to take the wires down because, first of all, they would like to have a backup if they ever need it, and that they want to keep their easement with the Forest Service. If they take the wires down, then they lose their easement. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to live with seeing the overhead lines, but at least fire danger-wise, hopefully it'll be decharged all the way from the Ski Valley down the Canyon Road. That pretty much it for my report. If we can move on to staff reports, please. Oh, dear. Go ahead, Jeff.
So, quick question. You mentioned the wastewater treatment plant and the Fujita water tank projects have started. Is there a timeline for those? And is there a...
Before the snowfall.
Well, is the idea to finish the treatment plan in this season?
That's the idea.
Is there a final cost now that's known for this project?
I'm not sure. This one I could ask for.
Oh, this is change orders.
So what was that amount before change orders?
I said unless there's change orders, we have $3,000 engineering plus the 89 contract,
$8.9 million.
So total would be 9.2 with the engineering costs, Jensen.
Oh, thanks. And then the...
without any change orders, which we haven't had any yet.
The 9.2 all in right now,
yes,
before any change orders. And then the water tank project, what is that?
Do you have numbers on the water tank?
Question on the water tank. Is it right that the water tank will be finished, but maybe do we need the pump to pump up to it?
Should I start my report?
Yeah. Sorry.
So, Mayor and Council, yes, just from the, it's $2.8 million on the water tank. And we're coming up on a funding cycle with the, kind of skipping ahead, on the water, the WTB, which is the
Water Trust Board
cycle, which I'll be attending training on Thursday. It's been a few years since I've gone through the process successfully, so I want to make sure I get up to date on the newest. The booster pump, which is required, we're going to be able. We need to move from where we are to a closer location. We're currently sitting on TSVI property. We also need to upgrade the booster pump to get water to the tank. That's about $80,000. That does, and so that's not the new pump that's anticipated that you'll see in the ICIP. That's an additional cost, but this is for just getting it upgraded and moved. That's the estimate cost on that. So that hasn't been done yet. So as to having it built, we should have it built. It's scheduled for final closeout. Actually, I have it down there somewhere. End of November. We expire. We should have closed out just before that on the 25th. Happy Thanksgiving, of course. That's how it's scheduled. They've been doing pretty good with all the water and draining that and being able to move ahead with construction. Mr. Anthony Martinez, our Director of Public Works, will give you field reports on this as well as the wastewater plant. It looks like, and knock on wood, as long as things go to schedule, we should be able to get the tank in before we get the weather. Now, we do intend to ask for a scope change with the Water Trust Board, just in case, so we get all our paperwork and reports back to them. That's coming up here as well. And then as far as application, we're going to apply for funding for the new pump that's going to be required. Because, this temporary pump is for a couple of years. It's not intended for long term. And on the wastewater treatment plant, there's been a lot of work down there, and they're enumerated here. The dates to look for there are October. Early October is when expected building completion with the new or the second battery of Ovivo equipment showing up so that they can install it or start installing it. That one is scheduled to be operational. Again, we do have the temporary plants, and that's been part of what's been taking a lot of our folks' time. And they're testing, bringing them up to speed, getting training. We have those in place, but December is when the new plant is anticipated to be tested. And so forth. So we should have something in place while that's happening, but that's the schedule for when that should be all done. So We had an option to try to do it in 2 years, but that would have cost us another million. So we just went ahead and went forward with some provisions there that at least we have the temporary plant in place. I'll let, you know, any questions, I think Public Works Director will be filling us in here on his report. Village Hall Complex, there's been need to take care of some repairs, the biggest of which is the wall. And again, we have Rich Wilson for a field report if you want to follow up. A lot of backfill would have helped the wall construction in the first place. And that's what we're trying right now to bring down costs on replacing the wall. Pressure tanks in the apartment buildings have leaks. There might be a system out there that eliminates the need for all these, I think it's four pressure tanks that are in there and have age and leak issues. And then the police department construction's been at least not able to go forward. And one of the complexities there is the CID permitting. So we're following permitting with CID, and that's something that's still backlogged as far as them giving approval on apartments, but also on the office, they'll need to give approvals there. The other thing, and this is came timely with what I heard on Saturday in this community meetings, is what we do with traffic controls on roads and parking. There was some need to know more about that. And so we'd like to take our suggestions, our recommendations, at least the council, perhaps review by P&Z, I think that's appropriate, to talk about things like speed limit warning signs, naming, and then road conditions, weather conditions, signage on that, and how we enforce that. Maybe that needs an ordinance. What's happened before has just been administrative as far as roads goes. At least that's the understanding that I've got for everybody I've asked. We'd like to make that a more formal process so that the public's involved and also the commission and council. We do have a request for proposal being produced, and this is for a price agreement for undergrounding. And with that, we're still getting the scope together. But it's essentially for trenching and undergrounding. It's not for any kind of mechanical or connection with gas or otherwise. So it's basically for that. And we have had the TID presented for review. And this is for dedication documents to the village. We're still doing that. Hopefully in September we can get that before council. And then just making sure, you know, we're mandated, and that's part of our job as far as following through on permitting. And hasn't been a process that's been in place. I mean, even if you ask for public records, you'll be hard to find a permit that's gone through, and you can check it again or against ordinances. So we're making sure that happens. We have to do permitting, and even on projects that involve us, there's a permitting process. So we just want to try to, you know, educate best we can there, help people through that. And not be, bring it up as a hurdle, but something that we can get together and work with. So that's our intention here. And that's my report.
Thank you. Any questions? Chaz?
I just want to clarify a couple things, please. I'm sorry, I was taking notes, so I missed something. You said something about trenching. And installation. Were you referring to natural gas?
For natural gas, electric, fiber, all of those, so that we have a price agreement to be able to do all those.
And where?
Throughout the village.
Oh, throughout the whole village.
Right.
Oh, okay. Is that something that's happening soon, or is that something you're...
Well, we anticipate having to do that on Thunderbird.
Okay. But you're building a plan village-wide to have all that.
Right. Well, we need to have somebody that can do it, and yeah. So.
Okay. And then I think you mentioned the dedication package that the ski company we presented to you. Mm-hmm. I just want to again offer we're happy to meet to review that package. I know there's a lot to it. There's the as-built, there's a lot of cost information. So, you know, whenever you all are ready, we'd be happy to sit and review that with you ahead of presenting it to council.
Thank you on that. That'd be great. And it's going to, you know, it's the first time I've done it. So I want to make sure that we're, you know, taking all the steps. I don't anticipate anything of issue, but we do want to have clarified reports for the council to see.
Yeah, again, however we can help.
What's the status of the negotiation with the state on the sprinkler systems in the apartments?
Go ahead, Rich. Mayor and Council. We have removed the world block from the site, and that was at no cost to the village. We have it stacked up at the site, and we have several possible uses for it. Came up with the idea, John did, of filling all the terrain and bringing the grade up so we could greatly reduce the height of the retaining wall. And that's what we're doing. James Vito is sticking with his original unit price for the replacing the material. So that's between $4,000 and $6,000 to place all of that material. We've widened the entry and exit, so it's full-size pickups now, and when they're leaving the site, can turn and be perpendicular to the highway, so you can look up and down the highway. We've reduced the amount of ready rock by 60% of the amount of rock that we have to purchase, and the net result is a reduction in the cost of redoing this from down from $54,000 to $37,000, so it's about 70% of what it was originally. So we're also placing a pad by the transformer to receive the standby generator that was located at the plant, the original standby generator. That's a very low hourly use generator. So it will provide enough power to operate both the apartments and the office building in the future. And so we're going to get it placed, and then next year we'll probably work on getting it wired into the system. With respect to the apartments, we have been working since October 4th to get a variance from CID to not have to sprinkler the apartment. And the sprinkler condition was triggered because we're changing the use from a hotel to an apartment building. So this, we had a deal worked out with the acting head of CID, and they were going to issue us a variance. And then there was a change in the administration, the governor, and new people came into regulation and licensing. And so the previous General Construction Bureau Chief was demoted back down to his position. And so he has stated to one of his chief inspectors that he will sign, but he hasn't. So we are going to enclose our original application and send in the building permit and force the issue with them, or force them to give us a hearing. So the other part of this is it has a real big impact on the other properties in Amoset. Any new construction, you have to put a sprinkler system in, but the Amoset, the Columbine, and the Hosting House, all of those, if they undergo some kind of a change in the use, that they would fall under the same trigger point. And so we think it's important, until the village can get a water and sewer line down there, that we need the village to be able to grant variances on the basis that there's no water supply to power a sprinkler system. The estimate that we got to sprinkler the apartments was $175,000 from the sprinkler company, plus we would have had to put in a standby generator in a 3,000-gallon system, which we think is probably closer to 2.25 to 2.30 by the time it's all done. Plus, it involves having to add on to the building to make this work. So we've made, I think, a compelling case to them that variance should be granted. So that's where we stand.
Question. Yeah, is the roof able to support the sprinkler system? Pipes in the ceiling?
The roof is undersized right now. One in the two-unit building, on one of the units, two of the main beams cracked and broke, and we had to retrofit that. The roofs have to be shoveled every time the snow reaches between 18 and 24 inches. Those roofs need to be shoveled, and they'll go on.
So you're not going to be able to hang the main?
Well, the sprinkler pipe is going to be plastic. It falls under the category for an NFPA 13R system.
Okay.
But so the water volume in there isn't huge. But
so you're going to be able to hang it from the...
Well, we're not going to do it.
What after it?
Other questions?
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it. Next, we have Patrick Nicholson, planning director. Oh, sorry, Chancellor.
One more clarification.
Yeah.
John, you mentioned a booster pump for the water tank. Is that confirmed that that location is moving, or is that still being assessed?
This is for moving and making a temporary pump. Because we're on TSVI property, we need to move off of there.
Okay.
And you know, we don't want to set up a new pump in the wrong location.
Okay, I just want to make sure I understood that. Thank you.
Patrick?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Some department highlights. The village GIS continues to grow with additional information on public safety and public works. Yeah, infrastructure, this information and various maps are available on the village website under the village services tab for planning and community development. Efforts at enforcement have brought the former Zapps property at 20 Zapps Road into compliance. This parcel is no longer a public nuisance or safety hazard. Other recent enforcement actions include the village noise ordinance for construction-related activities and zoning violations for long-term multifamily rentals. Project planning for Twining Road improvements continues with an engineering site analysis scheduled for next Friday, the 23rd. And lastly, the RFP for system development and impact fee update and study was released on Sunday. The deadline for proposals is September 25th. Once awarded, this is intended to be a six-month study.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Any questions? Councilor?
Patrick, two questions. Do you see them adding the 911 addressing to the GIS pretty soon?
Mr. Mayor, Councilor, GIS, the functionality of GIS shows addresses for each property already, and we have tied it in. So if you look at the GIS on the website, you can pull up addresses for every property in your parcel already.
When I click on a site, that's not what immediately comes up. There's a different button.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We will thank you for that. We will work to increase the ease of use on that.
Okay. And then if anybody sees anything that maybe should be looked at for correction, how do they address that? Just send you an email or something?
That would be appreciated.
And mostly I'm looking at the size. It seems like there's maybe some differences in the actual acreages versus what the county tax office says, for example, or the surveys say.
Okay, yeah, sometimes, I mean, it's as good as the data that we try very assiduously to make sure it's correct, but we're continuing to revise and update information as we get it quarterly from the Taos County Assessor's Office.
Well, lest I sound the least critical, I want to applaud your efforts because this is what we've needed for about 20 years. Thank you.
Patrick, you mentioned that you deal with long-term rentals. Is that going to be coming before planning and zoning?
Mr. Mayor, Mr. King, I sure hope so.
Okay.
Yeah, we've notified the offending property owner, and hopefully we'll be providing some information for the PNC.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions? Chaz.
Just out of curiosity, can we have a little more information on a follow-up question, Neil's question? What's the issue being, I guess, explored with long-term property rentals?
Sure, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Rocky. Long-term multifamily rentals are not allowed in the residential district. It's a zoning violation, clearly, and so we're asking that they bring that case or cases to the Planning Commission for a conditional use permit or cease and desist the violation.
What's a long-term?
Long-term is generally over 30 days.
And you said
that families three or more unrelated persons in the same dwelling unit. We'll be happy to talk to you about it after if you'd like or any time.
I think that's probably something that should go before P&Z to determine whether or not we need to change our zoning or do whatever with it, right? I'm speaking for Tom.
Yes, it should be with Thompson complete.
Mayor Council, I'd like to get a clarification. If we issue a notice, is there an appeal process?
There is always an appeal process, and it's outlined in the zoning ordinance, in this case, the planning zoning ordinance, 17-30.
Is that heard by P&Z or council?
I believe it's set up an administrative decision that can be appealed to the P&Z. Any P&Z decision then gets appealed to the village council. And then to district court if people don't like village council decisions.
Is the intent with this to, is the intent that if there was an application made for, I guess, a variance, that you would be of mind to grant a conditional use, want to have the opportunity to grant a conditional use permit, or are we looking to eliminate this multi-family / long-term rentals?
I can answer that. It would be a conditional use permit, not a variance. It would go to Planning Commission. And this board can't really talk about the substance of it because they will act as, if let's say it's denied, or let's say it's granted and the neighbors want to appeal, because there are neighbors opposed, and this board acts as like the judge and jury over that Planning Commission's decision. So I want to keep everybody neutral as far as talking to substance, but yeah, it goes through a public process, junior process, and it can be granted or denied or granted with conditions attached.
What kind of timeline does a process like this take? You know, I'm just curious from our business standpoint, Kowski Valley Inc.'s business standpoint, and the importance of employee housing going into the winter season. I just think we kind of need to know where we are on this sooner rather than later.
Yeah. So, David.
Yeah, I also think this is a big issue for the entire village and for the resort. And we had a couple of open forums this weekend with village residents that were interested in the topic. Resorts around the country are being severely challenged by having a developing workforce. Jackson Hole this year could not run some of his lifts because they couldn't hire lift attendants. So I think that the idea of some form of housing should be something, it's a big topic, and I think it should be discussed broadly and really understand how best to deal with it. We've got a huge competitive advantage right now because people actually want to work in Taos because of our purpose-driven B Corp ethos, and people are excited to be here. Finding housing is a real challenge. I think it's a good topic to discuss, and I just wouldn't take it lightly. And I think we're certainly interested in hearing what people feel about it locally, and where is the best place, what's the best timing. But I'm just going to echo Chaz's comments that we are already planning for staffing for this winter. If we lose that staffing, it will definitely impact the guest experience. So, more on that topic, but it's a big one that I think we should have an open dialogue on.
I think if a CUP application were to come in, let's say next week, is September realistic for a hearing? September, October?
Certainly October.
Yeah. So we've got public notice.
As soon as we can get in. Better.
This may not just impact the ski valley here. There are others I can think of. So,
okay. I just want to say, a few years ago, I worked at Keystone as a snowcat operator, and they have workforce housing right at the base of the area, but it's kind of away from residential and condominium areas. So it's. And I was just thinking, what would a possibility be kind of bound by the LMF, I mentioned that before, other land that you might be able to acquire for Mickey that would still be able to, people would be able to walk to from work, but it would be kind of, they could be noisy and not disturb the residents or guests.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of possibilities, a lot of options. As you know, the Ski Valley is behind in many, many things. We're just trying to play catch up. Mm-hmm. And some of these solutions that we have right now are short-term solutions until we can play catch-up. So it's just kind of a situation we're in. Any type of consideration we can get to realize how challenging it is would be greatly appreciated.
And I think there might be some funding sources. I think Laura helped with Jackson Affordable Housing, and they're locally based. It's one of the things they do, or they used to do. So there might be ideas for funding.
I was going to move on to Sammy's report. So let's skip to Jamal, our building official.
Thank you, Mayor, Council, members of the public. Earlier this month, we had visits from the EPA regarding our village projects, and I believe other large projects. Checking the slip requirements for erosion control and so on. And I think that overall, we did pretty good. And so kudos to the construction crews and contractors with the resort and ours here with our project. So yeah, that's appreciated. I ended up being contacted for him by surprise and dealing with him, but he was very nice. And I had the shoe on the other foot for once. I was on detention, kind of checking things out. And then this month, I have issued two commercial and one multifamily permits. They're generally minor, except for the Parcel D building portion of their permit, which just went out a few days ago. And I have inquiries from one commercial, two residential, and one multifamily permits pending. They've been in to talk to me. I don't have the applications yet, nor have I issued clearance for them to go forward. Now, we've got about four construction starts for small projects that were permitted previously. Right now, my inspections are ran about 25 this month, since people I showed up to get started on the project, so I'm up to almost one per day. That's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions? Delmar? Chaz?
I just wanted to follow up on the EPA mention you made. Is it typical for the EPA just to show up at a site or in a village like that, or is that something that was requested, or how did that evolve?
Well, SWIP can show up in my years of construction, which quite a bit. I've had them show up one time, and it was due to a complaint. Now, this gentleman did say that he was directed interagency, some other federal agency said there was a lot going up in the ski valley. Go up. It could have been the tax and revenue. It could have been the state water boards. Hard to say.
Was there a specific matter they were looking at, or just a general?
Well, it's their responsibility to see that the contractors, when they're disturbing over like an acre and a quarter, have SWIP protections in place so that there isn't erosion, and that's their main function is erosion control. So that's what he was there to see if the barriers for rainstorms to keep the earth from moving into the river and those kind of things. That isn't unusual with the amount of activity we have here for a person to show up in the region.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Mr. Rocky, what possibly could be going on is with the wastewater plant and going on. They're actually in direct contact with agency that oversees like the wastewater treatment plant. So it could have been that kind of conversation in that sense. There's actually two individuals that are involved in that situation in stormwater. And so it sounded like they created a new office there in Albuquerque, so they have more of a local presence now, especially for SWIP.
Thank you.
And Sammy, if you'd like to give your police report, just curious what's going on. We just got a tone out.
Yeah, we got going out. There was a biker, maybe a bike or something like that, just crashed. It was all somewhere. It's okay, obviously. He just shook up for a little bit, but they're going to check him out.
Who's responding?
Virgil's going up that way. I'm not sure where it's at. And then there's a water break. So, it's not very in there.
Water damage?
Yeah.
Where?
Very. Very in somewhere in this.
Richard was just calling me because he couldn't get anybody.
Now you're up to date.
Okay.
The monthly report for July, we had one motor vehicle crash, we had two residential alarms, we had one business alarm, we had one death, one suspicious person in a vehicle, citizen contact, we had 87, traffic enforcement hours, we had 55, traffic stops, we had 17, written citations, one, written warnings, two, verbal warnings 21, parking citations we had 5, assists to other agencies we had 7, we had trespass warnings 1, foot patrol hours 38, animal calls we had 3, reckless drivers we had 2, private property crashes we had 1, civil standbys we had 1, traffic hazards, we had 4. Trespasses, we had 1. Narcotics, adults, we had 1. Fire calls, we had 2. And EMS calls, we had 1. And also, I'd like to address, I guess, it came up last council regarding the ambulance on the mine slide and Coyote. It's still an ongoing investigation. It's still open. I'd like to thank everybody that responded to that call and the rescue efforts.
and for everybody that gave information that could help us in our investigation. Up to date, we have determined that there was no wrongdoing so far. Nothing's come up in any of the investigations or interviews that we had. No other leads have come up. So we haven't had those solid conclusions of any intent or neglect on anybody's part or wrongdoings. But it is, according to what I'm seeing, it might have been just an act of nature. With everything that was happening with the snowfalls and the amounts and all that stuff. So, so far, that's about all we have on that investigation. Any questions from anybody?
Mayor Castle, so if you had more information that led you to the suspect and the wrongdoing, you'd be able to follow up on that once.
Yeah, if we had more information on any witnesses or anything that would have seen anything, any information they've gotten, the people that are of interest that we looked into, basically all had legitimate alibis.
Any other questions? Okay, Chief Molina is not here. Anthony Martinez, Public Works Director.
Mr. Mayor, Council, members of the community. We've had a very busy month. We've had starting up the temporary treatment plant, which is also ramping down the existing treatment plant. Anybody that's moved knows the complexity of doing that, keeping basically two households running. And in our case, we're having to leave the plant, so to speak, and keep it running at the same time, which has been very difficult. The crew has established a nice lab in the maintenance shop and was able to get rid of a lot of old equipment that we weren't using anymore and clean up the plant. We did get the new temporary legal plant up and operating. We did have some troubleshooting issues, but we were learning it as we were learning the plant. We did get, as of yesterday morning, we actually turned off the existing plant, and the temporary plant is receiving the flow. It does look like the information that we're getting from our lab samples is giving us good treatment, but we're still fine-tuning it because we're in the process of still taking down the existing plant. So that we're having some issues there. I did get, we did have a gentleman from Ovivo stop by this afternoon. He's saying that the new treatment plant should be delivered mid-September. So so that's where we're at in terms of getting that piece of equipment shipped to us, so mid-September. So, but they do have a lot of work on the outside, foundation purposes, and getting all that work done. Staff's been working on DIs. We've had quite a few heavy rains, cleaning the DIs several times, at least once a week. Being able to use the grader to help recrown the road. Unfortunately, with our old water truck that we have on inventory, it actually broke down. That's one of the reasons we haven't been able to wet down the road after he graded the road. Brake failure, so we can't have staff on mountain with that much of weight, water-wise, with no brakes. That's a big danger, so that's where we're at. Pachina tank, the floors have been poured, they've been cured. They started pouring walls last week, and they're going to be doing setting up the different walls and making sure that they have 5-year cures on each wall before they pour next to the other one. That way we have failures and cracks. So it does look like the tank is really going up really well. Staffing, John Moore gone up and checked the tank with other staff, and of course the engineers did check the rebar, and so we're double checking some other issues. Collection system, we've been jet riding the entire system. We started from Bavarian all the way down, their upper twine in that area. We did find a handful of blockages, this is probably due to a couple of years of staff not being able to get to them in the past. While we're doing that, Mr. James Porter is actually going out with the GIS and capturing each manhole, so as we cover them back up, he already has a GIS coordinates for it. Gabe's been really busy in the shop with equipment. Dump truck, we've had several issues with it. Of course, the water truck I just mentioned, and a couple other equipment that he's been working on. So, okay. Anything else?
Thank you. Any questions? And staff report for village clerk.
Mayor and Council, I believe the only thing I have to report today is that a reminder on the TID board candidate filing date, which is August 27th, 9-5 at the past county clerk's office. Yes, otherwise, other matters are contained in this meeting.
Okay. Is that it for you? Any questions on the TID candidacy? Susan, do you have anything?
Anything. We mediated with TSVI on July 29th. Both parties worked very hard throughout the day. It was an entire day of mediation. At the end of the day, we had a counter offer on the table. Joe Canepa, the attorney for TSVI, has been working with his clients, and we've now gotten just in the last couple of days counteroffer to our counteroffer. So I'm hoping that this will continue and we'll be able to settle this matter. And as you all know, it has to do with connection fee credits that are due or allegedly due on Parcel C or the future Carler development.
So you can't reveal what those offers and counteroffers are?
No, mediation is completely confidential. You know, there's a Rule 408 rule of evidence that governs a litigation that says you don't discuss settlement negotiations, and then mediation itself under New Mexico statute is confidential as well. However, once we reach a final settlement, the settlement agreement will become a development agreement to run with the land, and that would be approved by the entire council. So that would be public information. I just to add a little bit to what Patrick said on the impact fee study, that will result in a land use regulation amendment. That area of the land use regulation deals with impact fees for roads, parks and rec, open space. It will be amended based on what we come up with, and then we'll also be reworking our system development fees for water and sewer based on the science, the stats we get. And just a note that to come into compliance with the New Mexico Development Fees Act, we do need to appoint, as we're going through this fiscal impact study, an advisory committee. And that committee is spelled out by New Mexico statute. It will have a developer slash real estate person, some representatives from the village. It's a combination of interests in the community, and they will sit and study what the engineers or the experts have come up with statistics to help us determine how impact fees should look in the future. So we'll probably get a resolution to the council, I'm guessing September. And so anybody who's interested, maybe we'll post an ad of some kind in the next couple of weeks and take applications for those positions. I think it's 5 under the statute, but I have to go check. And we have met with the Chopop developers. We've had really productive meetings. We're hoping to get that on a planning commission agenda, maybe October, November, late fall, even into early winter, as we work through some of the details. And, just one last note on fireways. There were a lot of good comments on Saturday, and I just want to urge everybody to be involved because that's going to go now to the staff level. Staff will work with them, probably coming out of planning and legal, and then it'll go to planning commission and finally the council. So any comments anybody has, we want to hear it. I think to work together as a community with the draft we have. There also is possible funding. I'm hearing from someone who's involved with our source water protection plan meetings. She's with Rural Water. She just emailed me today about some folks who might be able to help us get funding, because good fire management equals water protection for obvious reasons. And Rural Water does help out with funding sources to, for fire mitigation. Okay, thanks. That's it.
Go ahead, Councillor.
We also have the lead on another employee grant or staffing grant that could fill in for our Firewise consultant. Now, is the granting application that you're looking at fly out there, or is it go to?
She gave me some names. I guess I'll reto actually mapped the urban wildland, I can never say that, interface zone, and it's nice to have mapping, and they somehow use GIS to map the most hazardous areas. So I think there's funding to help with that possibly, and then how to mitigate those most dangerous areas first. And then, let's see, I'm sorry, she also mentioned help with the Nature Conservancy, believe it or not, that they have funding, and they like to help with these things. Yeah, and I don't know about employee or staff, but maybe we can find out. Yeah.
Would you mind sharing those leads? On
yeah, I'll forward you the email. Okay. I just got it. Thanks.
Chad, answer.
Right, two quick clarifications. You mentioned this advisory committee pertaining to the system development fee study.
Yeah.
Who? And you're saying that applicants would be accepted to be on the committee?
I think that's probably, you know, I don't know that we have to take applications, but I think. And I would defer to the council and their desires, and certainly our clerk and our administrator, but I think it's cleaner probably to just post it like we did with Planning Commission and let people apply so we can look at all the applications and then the council can make a determination of who should be appointed.
That's how it's scripted. Council decides the appointments?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. Thank you. And then I just wanted to clarify, you mentioned the shop-off group.
Yeah.
They're working on what is happening in the late fall?
They have an application in for a plat approval and an upzoning of their properties. And they have some site-specific development plans as well, and those can be viewed in our planning office. I mean, I think with the applications in, so the public can come look at them. They're officially public record.
Yeah. Aren't they supposed to have submitted the planning and zoning in September?
Well, yeah, it's that too. We have one more meeting with them, I think, end of this month, early September, so probably going to be October, November. So there's still some details we're working on. It's a complex development. There's a lot involved.
There'll be a formal announcement hearing.
Yeah, we have to give public notice and, you know, post things.
Okay.
Go on, then.
Okay.
If you don't come to an agreement with Inc. on the discount rate, will the court force you into arbitration?
No. The court sometimes will force mediation. Arbitration is usually the result of a contract where you've agreed to have an arbitration clause. Local governments usually don't end up in arbitration unless they've signed a contract that says they'll arbitrate. So it would go to the court, and it would look like a motion for declaratory relief and an injunction. And usually those are simple in a case like this. There'd be so many historic documents, so many potential witnesses, that it could be a five-day trial. Very expensive, not in anybody's best interest to litigate. And,
right.
You know, it's just not, I've done enough litigation, the cost, you know. So if we can find a middle ground, and we're getting closer and closer, I think hopefully we'll settle it.
Thank you. Anything else?
I just wanted to add that I believe all committee appointments are approved by council. And an update on the video monitoring. My SD card is full, so I only got a little bit. I'll have to go for trial number three, and then we can get the whole meeting. But we are still doing audio recording, which again is available to anybody who is interested. We can burn a copy of a CD of the audio recording.
Yes, absolutely.
For anyone.
Yes.
So if anyone wants to double check against minutes or anything, that we have that verification.
Mr. Mayor, update on that, bike crash, I guess the individual had a bad leg break, and back and hip injury. The initial person that calls the official, not that bad, but just coming in and out.
So they call the ambulance?
Yeah, and the first, Dow Sinker's up there, and Richard comes up.
Okay. I think we got some.
The ambulance probably coming up.
Thanks. Okay, I guess that's it for staff reports, so we can move on to old business, which there is none, and new business. We move 13E up. So, consideration of TID board request to village council and to designate and... Okay, this was amended, so... Consideration of TID board request to village council of Chaz Rocky to be the designate agent of the village to be permitted to inspect certain New Mexico Tax and Revenue Department reports under the terms of the New Mexico Tax and Revenue Department confidentiality agreement for the purpose of working with approved village staff and the New Mexico Tax and Revenue Department to reconcile gross receipts tax allocations to the village and to the TID. That's a mouthful.
Well, Mayor and Council, consideration of the TID board request to village council. And this is the request we received. This is certified that the last TID board meeting on July 19th, that a motion was passed unanimously to request that Chaz Rocky be the interface to the New Mexico Department of Finance. The board requests the village council to accept their recommendation of Chaz Rocky as being the best way to clear up any problems with TID financial questions. That's the request. That's requested on this action. My recommendation is we move forward and follow what the TID board is requesting.
Okay. Can I entertain a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we appoint Chaz Rocky as our representative to work cooperatively with the village TID board and New Mexico TRD.
And,
I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion?
I need to understand. By the way, I think there's nobody more motivated to get this resolved than Chaz. But I need a clarification on this. The appointed representative should meet the following qualification, has no conflict of interest with the village. Such conflicts could include involvement in pending litigation matters. If there's pending litigation between TSVI and the village, is that going to be an issue?
It could be, but I think we're going to settle that matter and before Chaz gets through the confidentiality training and the appointment.
Okay, we do need to resolve those matters.
Yeah.
Is that language that you just read, is that a suggestion or is that a requirement?
I don't know. It's on the
agenda. It's a suggestion for obvious reasons. Yeah.
Suggestion from whom?
This is, excuse me. So these recommendations or this appointment should have these qualifications because you're appointing an agent of the village. So these are things that protect the village.
I think, staff and I talked it over because they asked me, since you're asking who, and we just want to make sure that person has a fiduciary duty to the village, so it's in this role. And if obviously if we're at odds and on the opposite side of the table and litigating something, that's not going to work so well. But that's the purpose. And at this point, I think we're fine. So.
Yeah.
Obviously, the TID board felt that Chaz was the best person suited to do this because he's been going at it from the beginning. He found the problem. He brought it to our attention to try and get this done. Also, irrespective of any pending litigations going on, I think that it is pretty obvious that both the corporation and the village have a definite interest in getting this problem solved. And to get it solved, let's use the best person we can. Okay, that's basically it.
Okay, anyone else? Would you have a motion on the table? like to call for a vote. All in favor to appoint Chaz Rocky as the village agent for the TID board, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. I say nay. Okay, motion carries. Next item of business.
Could I thank the council for cooperating with the TID board? Thank you very much.
Yes.
I echo that. Thank you.
Okay. Next item, 13A, consideration to approve resolution number 2020-404, the Village of Towsky Valley 2021-2025 Infrastructure and Capital Improvements Plan. And this is presented. Mr. Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Village Council and the general public. The 2020-21-2025 Village ICIP is prepared annually for submission to the New Mexico Department of Finance and Administration. It establishes village policy and project funding priorities for the period 2012 through 2021 through 2025. Additional work remains to obtain and secure specific project funding and to designate a village project manager for each project. The plan was developed, this ICIP was developed by senior staff and presented, discussed, and approved by the Village Planning and Zoning Commission at their July 1st, 2019 regular meeting. The current draft incorporates many P&Z recommendations.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second. Discussion. Okay, can I have a vote to approve? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Next item, 13B, discussion of records, retention schedule, and draft documents. This is Ms. Lovers.
Yes, sir. Mayor, Council, citizens. The council adopted a resolution in 1999 establishing a records management program for the Village of Towsky Valley, which stated the village would follow the State of New Mexico Records Management Division's records retention schedule. Several years ago, the state changed their schedule, and most municipalities, municipal clerks, did not care for the new retention schedule. So most municipalities were in a quandary to use the old one or the new one or what to do. The Clerks Association formed a committee to recommend its own records retention schedule, which they have published in late 2018. I have enclosed some of the guidelines. The document is fairly long, but I enclosed some of the guidelines for council review, and I'm happy to post those on the village website. The village has accumulated a large number of documents over the years, and many from Wyandotte Sanitation District, and of course the village has now been here for a fair number of years. Staff feels the need to not only establish the records retention schedule, but to implement it and start to eliminate some of the boxes of records that we have been storing at Hines and Hines in El Prado at a cost, of course, and now at the new village complex. The goal for implementing the program is to become more organized and efficient and to be able to easily find, retrieve, store, have room for the village's records. So this item is just for review and discussion at this time, and I'd like to bring a resolution to the next council meeting adopting the records retention schedule. Many of the highlights are some records are required to be permanent, lots of personnel things. Obviously, all the meeting records, minutes, agendas, those are permanent. A lot of human resources files are permanent. Many things like accounts payable, a lot of other financial things are a 3-year retention schedule, except for audits, et cetera, which are permanent. So it's a very sensitive schedule. I think staff would like to sit down before the next council meeting and see if we'd like to extend the retention schedule, maybe make some of them 5 years instead of three, and this would always be at staff's discretion to, you know, extend the time that you like, and any disruption of records will be brought to council for approval. Unless that would be recommended to dispose of. That's all I have. Anybody have any questions?
I think it's good work from the clerks, and thanks for doing that. Look forward to seeing the final version.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
It does bring up a question. I mean, at the moment we're recording things in, how long do they have to be kept for?
The recordings, it says that they are kept until the minutes are approved.
Okay.
Or they're required to be kept until the minutes are approved.
Okay.
So if we could change that.
I'm thinking if we had to buy lots of storage.
And then it would be the mayor and council's discretion if they'd like to keep them longer. I don't know that it says what is should be retained on the village's website or on an outside source. So, it is a good point for discussion.
Well, I was going to say on a quasi-judicial hearing, like a CUP at variance, that has to be kept longer because there's a right to appeal. And there's 30 days to appeal to a district court after the appeal comes out of council. And so you have to retain that record because it's your transcript for court.
I believe the town of House keeps their video recordings indefinitely. I don't think they.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how long they keep
it. And a video or audio recording is never the official transcript of a meeting. It would always be due to council.
Yeah. I mean, it's all durable. It's just you need to know in advance.
Right. Any other discussion on this? Okay, moving on. 13C, action to remand the Thunderbird Road Improvements Project to the Planning and Zoning Commission for review and recommendation. Stavro?
Mayor and Council, old business, not to be rescheduled, not recommended. Background information, this action is necessary due to the further design revisions and changes to Thunderbird Road by the developer Tao Ski Valley Inc., TSVI. Subsequent to the Planning and Zoning Commission's previous consideration, Thunderbird Road is a TID project to be designed and built by TSVI. Once completed, it is contemplated that the road will be accepted by the village and dedication as a public right-of-way. According to the TID Master Development Agreement, MDA, Section 4A, the village has the right to formally approve construction documents for any component of the eligible infrastructure, such as Thunderbird Road. In order to expedite the construction and completion of Thunderbird Road improvements, the village of Tao Ski Valley has repeatedly requested meetings with TSVI for the past several months to resolve outstanding issues regarding safety and regulatory design, drainage infrastructure, and the proposed acquisition of private property to accommodate drainage, utilities, and sidewalk. Therefore, the MDA contemplates that any TID project will be formally approved by the village council or authorized officers and departments by direction of the village council before being accepted as a public infrastructure. Continuous examination and formal review is necessary because the village will be assuming the risk and cost at taxpayers' expense of maintaining this public infrastructure over time. In investigating the history, it appears that the appropriate formal review and approval was not conducted with regards to Thunderbird Road. In February 2018, the Village Plan Commission recommended that the Village Council begin the process of acquiring private property so that the construction of Thunderbird Road could move forward. As you know, only the Village Council is authorized to acquire private property, instruct staff, and to expend taxpayers' funds to do so. Our records indicate that the Village Council never considered or approved this acquisition as recommended by the Planning Commission. In addition, at the time the Planning Commission's recommendation was made, no authentic final plans for the road were reviewed by the Commission. And the Commission may have assumed that the construction design was the same as presented during meetings over the previous 2 years, including meetings tied to the conditional use permit approved for Parcel D in late spring 2018. TSVI presented village staff with a set of Thunderbird Road plans that were signed by the Public Works Director. Unfortunately, these plans deviate significantly from those presented earlier to the Planning Commission during the Parcel D CUP process and the subsequent public meetings involving the road. It is unlikely that the Planning Commission was presented these revised plans when it made its recommendations to Council in February of 2018. TSVI's revised plans contemplate acquisition of a larger amount of private property, as well the removal of structures and historic cultural entryway, atmosphere, and landscaping. This change means greater expenditure, taxpayer funds, and probable litigation, including condemnation. The new plans include significant portions of a private front yard so that the acquisition may be affected by severance damages. That would be substantial. That would substantially increase the village's cost. In order to resolve the discrepancy between the design construction plans given to some village staff and those presented to the Planning Commission, village staff recommends that the consideration of Thunderbird Road design be remanded back to the Planning Commission if the Planning Commission's informed recommendation contemplates the acquisition of private property. Only the village council has the authority to make that final decision regarding the commission's recommendation. This matter would then be placed on an upcoming council agenda. Recommendation moved to have the Village Planning Commission consider and approve the final design drawings for Thunderbird Road with the recommendations to the Village Council for final consideration and approval.
And just a note, because the property owner is the mayor, if there's any discussion, and we probably don't need to go there today, but if there's any substantive discussion that starts to come about the acquisition of the private property, I've advised him that it's a possible conflict of interest. I don't know that it's direct, but you know, it may be wise to step away if that discussion happens. And especially, Mayor, if you would like to make comments about the private property itself and your historic knowledge of that.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that we have the village planning, and I will say that we need to add zoning after planning every time. The Planning and Zoning Commission consider and approve the final design drawings for Thunderbird Road with recommendations to the Village Council. Second.
Okay, discussion.
You know, the P&Z approved the drawings several years ago. I think the drawings were done by Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Village Council, the next Village Council meeting, they approved it. And I think what we did was we took about 80 square foot of the Brown Owl property. And when the Village Council approved it, the Village was supposed to negotiate a fair price with the owner of the Brown Owl. So what happened to that?
Let me say.
So why are we doing it again?
The staff approval plans by Ray King, those documents were submitted in March of 2018. And they were 30 pages. The plans you saw were 17 pages. And that council meeting, the packet you got, had the plans that were 17
pages.
What
changed?
It's been proven to me that the significant changes, as John put in his report to us, were made in the engineering. So the Planning and Zoning Commission never saw these significant changes. And you will see those eventually.
What kind of changes?
I can answer.
Drainage.
The drainage is a huge.
For one thing, it's a huge thing. A lot of things change, and we're just trying to do the right thing here to make sure the Planning and Zoning Commission gets a take on what was changed and what Ray Keene signed off on. They're significant.
Yeah, I think this. My opinion is this has been a significant roadblock to progress in the village. And the best way to move this forward is send it back to P&Z, re-look at this stuff, make sure everybody's comfortable with what's there, work through the issues with the property owners, make sure we get the right project so we're ready to go next year. This is the best way to deal with it. It's been a roadblock to progress on a lot of things, and I think this is the best way to move forward.
So just one clarification. I want to make sure that the only action being taken here is referring the design to planning and zoning.
Right.
There's no adoption of any of the misstatements in the staff report or any of that. This is just about.
We're just sending it back.
Done. Okay.
Yeah. I agree with
fellow P&Z members, is probably a good idea for the P&Z to look at this. But just to remind people that P&Z actually does have the right to be able to accept things on their own as well. So, no, it's not necessarily a recommendation, except maybe for acquisition of real property. Okay, just which basically was what happened before us.
Okay. I don't feel like I need to step down as mayor right now and present my case as a landowner on this. We do have a motion on the table, so.
Well, did the village ever negotiate with you a fair price for 80 square feet?
No. No, let's just pass this back to P&Z and we can work on it.
It's embarrassing, is that what you're trying to say?
Okay. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Item 13D, consideration to approve the renewal of task contracts and addition of new task contracts with Allen Plumber Associates, Incorporated, formerly FEI.
Thank you, sir. Yes, Mayor and Council. This is a consideration to approve renewal of task contracts and additions of new contracts with Allen Plumber. Back in 2014, the village did an RFP and secured beryllium engineers, which later turned into FEI engineers to do on-call engineering projects. Recently, FEI was purchased by Allen Plumber Associates. Plumber has been given several tasks to complete by the village on an annual basis, and the village contracts for some general services and additionally for specific items. Below are the new and renewing tasks contracts for 2020. Task 1 and Task 7 are general contracts. General services contract usually incorporates meetings and planning things that are going on with upcoming projects. Task 7 specifically deals with on-call water services. So that was set up to deal with things like the SWP and the beginnings of the Kachina tank and other water issues. The new task orders, we have three listed. I understand that the first one, Task 22, the North Gunsight Springs, that one we originally had discussed with FEI, Allen Plumber, and we are going to remove that from this agenda item here because we have been awarded some capital outlay on the project. We will be going out for a separate RFP to begin work on that Gunsight Springs project design. And so we'll take it a little further than just assigning it to our on-call engineer. And then the Kachina Booster Station and the Phoenix Water Source Station are two new contracts for this year. Obviously, they're smaller, but conglomerately with the four updated task orders and the change of that $35,000, it would bring the total to $8,700. And staff recommends authorization and approval to renew these contracts with Allen Plumber Associates for that total.
I make a motion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
Yeah, is Russell still involved? Or they...
Yes, they are a subcontractor to Allen Plumber.
Okay.
So if they do a little bit of work, they get billed to us through Allen Plumber Associates.
Anything else? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay.
No.
Why not?
Okay, we have 3-1. Motion carries.
That's what they're in.
We have item 13F, direction to village staff to continue investigation and development of village water rights. Okay, that's the, I don't know why it's written like this.
Well, I took it after the closed session one time and no one seemed to care for that. So it was recommended to me to try this, which is what we did last month. Sorry, Mayor Council, I'm going to be in Plum. Yeah.
Okay, and then item 13G is direction to the administration to respond to continued threats of litigation. Item to follow on closed session. So that's out in the public.
And actually, council can make a motion to go into public into executive session.
I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session.
As long as we don't have any miscellaneous items.
Thursday, time and place of our next meeting.
Okay.
We can do that after.
He has a motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor to go into closed session, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, we'll take 5 minutes.
Never out.
And a lack of a courage.